Last week, we got into talking about the church. And the church is, do you remember what the church is? Oh, we're a mystery. We're a mystery. That's what Paul said. We were a mystery hidden from the foundations of time. That before God ever created the heavens and the earth, you were in his heart. You were in his mind. You were in him, a mystery from the foundation of time. You weren't a second-hand thought. He didn't, when Adam and Eve fell, he didn't think, oh, what are we going to do now? No, he knew. He knew what he was going to do. And it was a mystery. And it was hidden. Even the Old Testament prophets didn't fully understand. They didn't fully understand. I mean, they had limited understanding. They could see a few things. And they understood a few things. But they didn't understand the fullness. Isaiah could look and he saw Messiah coming. And I mean, there's over 300 prophecies concerning his first coming. And Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. But those Old Testament writers and those Old Testament prophets, they only knew a little bit. They knew that there was a Messiah coming, a Redeemer. But they didn't understand what was going to happen. They thought immediately when the Messiah came, he was going to set up a new kingdom in Israel, and they were going to rule from Israel forever. And that's not exactly what happened right away. When Jesus returns a second time, that'll happen. But in the meantime, he's got his church. He's got his body. Remember I said, you are God's gift to Jesus. You're his body. You are his body. Come on, that's special. I am a part of the very body of Jesus on the earth. I mean, how much more special can you get? I mean, come on, that's a wonderful thing. I'm a mystery. You're a mystery. Husbands, your wife is a mystery. But in more ways than one. Come on. And when she's too mysterious, you say, okay, God, you said she's a mystery. Help me to understand her. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, so we had just gotten down to, we were going to get to Acts chapter 2. And so here we've got this mystery. And we're going to talk about the very first real church service. Ready to talk about the real first church service? Okay. So, what happened? Jesus had died at Passover and was resurrected on first fruits. He was in the grave during unleavened bread. Come on. You know that God had all that planned out. Every aspect of it was planned out. And they still perform them as dress rehearsals today, the Jewish people do throughout Passover. But getting past that, after he resurrected, Jesus was on the earth for 40 days. On the 40th day, he looked at his disciples, and he ascended into the heavens. And the angels said, why are you standing here looking for him? In the same way that he departed, he's coming back again. But Jesus had told them, in the meantime, you go into the city, and you wait until you be endued with power. So still, there's kind of a mystery here. So they just go back. And you've got 120 gathered together there, and they're in the upper room. Let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bible. I read out of the New King James Version. I print out of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And I think we've got King James Version up on the screen. So there's plenty of version going around. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Now, the day of Pentecost is a feast. It's the Feast of Weeks. It happens 50 days after Passover. So Jesus was here 40 days after he resurrected. So how many days is left? It's about 10 days. So they're in the upper room 7 to 10 days because, you know, he was in the grave for 3, so 7 to 10 days, they're in the upper room, 120 of them gathered together. They, 120 out of all those disciples, all those people, the thousands that he fed, the thousands that followed him, the thousands that listened, and he had 120 that remained faithful on the day of Pentecost. So they were there. The day of Pentecost is also the day that Moses received the Ten Commandments. So you have in the Old Testament, you have the giving of the Word on the day of Pentecost. And in the New Testament, you have the giving of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Come on, God's a giver. Amen. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. That means they were all there with the same purpose. They were all there to be obedient to Jesus. They were all there waiting to be endued with power. And suddenly, oh, come on, suddenly. They were there for 7 to 10 days. You don't think that felt like suddenly to them, huh? I mean, you go to church and we say, well, come on, we're going to pray. Everybody's going to be here. We're going to pray for, you know, until we're endued with power. So people be like, okay, well, it's been an hour. I'm going to go home. I'm hungry. I got things to do. But he had 120 of them that stayed faithful. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to each to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. So that's the first church service. They've all been sitting there waiting. They've been doing what Jesus told them to do. This is the early church. They were obedient. They were waiting to be endued with power. And then suddenly, as they're sitting there waiting, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Holy Spirit came on each one of them. And it's just cloven, like cloven tongues of fire, sat upon each one of them where they were. And they began to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. I love tongues. Now, if you don't pray in tongues, I love you still. Yay. You know what? Paul said, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. What does that mean? Some don't. I love tongues. Praise the Lord. If you want to speak in tongues, you come talk to me if you don't. Amen? Listen, so this was the first church meeting. As a result of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, do you know what happened? Peter, who had denied Jesus a month and a half earlier, three times he denied him. Hey, you look like one of those disciples that was with him all the time. Oh, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. Well, Jesus had even told him, before the rooster crows in the morning, you'll have denied me three times. Three times Peter denied him. Three times. This is the day of Pentecost comes. You know, you'd be out in the grocery store and someone says something to you, and you're like, oh, you just, you know, make off like, I don't know anything about church or anything like that, you know. Oh, because we're an undercover church. No, don't be the undercover church. We don't want to be the undercover church. We want to be the out front church. Jesus said, would you take a candle and put it under a basket or a bowl? No. You put it out where it brings light. Right? You're going to take that light and you're going to put it where everybody can see it. We want to be a light. We want to be an example. We want to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to be. When the Holy Spirit came on Peter, he gave the most powerful message, a sermon of Jesus as the Messiah and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 people were added to the church that day. Well, how did they all hear about it? Well, these guys are in the upper room. Let's keep reading. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men from every nation under heaven. Why? Because it's the Feast of Pentecost. The Jewish people were coming in from all over to celebrate in Jerusalem the Feast of Pentecost. So Jewish people speaking other languages that were living abroad in different nations were all there. And when this sound occurred, what sound? Speaking in tongues. The sound, divided tongues. And they were all filled with the Spirit, speaking in tongues. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Listen, Paul says that you should pray for tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. I've talked to you about my friend Zach, who was raised Orthodox Jewish, and Carol knows him, and so she can verify. It's a true story. It's his testimony. He went to a church. A lady got up, gave a message in tongues. Nobody understood it. They went out to the car. He talks to his girlfriend. He said, I didn't know anybody at your church could speak Hebrew. He was surprised. As a result, the next Sunday, he got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he heard her speaking in tongues. Tongues was a sign to him as an unbeliever in Messiah. The next Sunday, when he got back, he got saved because of tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. Okay? So these guys are all here, and they're hearing all these people in this room, and they're all speaking in tongues, but they hear them in their own language. It was a sign to them. Tongues, a sign to the unbeliever. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans. In other words, these guys are natives of Pollock Pines. You know what I'm saying? They probably don't speak international languages. Okay? So that's what there's. These guys are Galileans. They're fishermen. They live by the sea. They're fishermen. They're Galileans. They're local. And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia. Come on, that's a lot of nations. Egypt, parts of Libya, Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes. Cretans and Arabs were here. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the what? Wonderful works of God. Come on, tongues is a sign to them. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Others mocking said, they are full of new wine. In other words, oh, come on, these people are just drunk. They're just drunk. No, but Peter, who had just previously denied Jesus three times, now filled with the Holy Spirit, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to the men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. Do you know what that means? Oh, come on, it's too early in the morning. Well, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's the third hour of the day. That's how the Jewish people do time. The day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it goes to 6 o'clock the next morning. It doesn't start at midnight like we do. Okay, they have God gave them a different way of doing things. Well, they stand out, right? But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Come on. I've had people just, I mean, love people. People just overflowing with love. I mean, just talk to you. And they're basically just prophesying to you. I mean, exhortation and wonderful things coming out of their mouths. Shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my menservants and maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. Shall prophesy. Come on, it's good. Prophecy is good. Forbid not prophecy. Come on, forbid not prophecy. It's good. That's what Paul said. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come on. This is fulfillment of prophecy. Joel prophesied this under the unction of the Spirit of God hundreds of years before. Come on. Just recently, we had what they call a tetrad. You guys familiar with that? The tetrad? The blood moons. And you know what's amazing about those blood moons? They happened in the 1940s when Israel became a nation. You know when they happen? On Jewish feast days. Not just random days. Not Columbus Day, but Jewish feast days. They happened again in the 1960s, right around the time that Israel regained Jerusalem as its capital. Come on, something big happened. It didn't happen right at the same time, but they were signs. Blood moons, four of them occurring on Jewish feasts that God appointed. These are God-appointed feasts that God gave to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. He said, these are my feasts, you keep them. Because they're what? They're signs. But God said right from the beginning in Genesis, he said, I'm putting the stars and the planets in the heavens, and they shall be signs. They're for signs. They're not just for wonder so we can look and go, oh, look, Jupiter is ascending. No, come on. They're for signs. God uses them. Well, we just came out of them again. We just had them again. Listen, we're coming up on, and these are fantastical times, wonderful times, wonderful times we're in. We've just had another tetrad that ended this last year. And do you know what's happening now? In 2018, it'll be 70 years, a generation, since Israel was made a nation in 2018. In 2018, coinciding with that, will be 50 years, a jubilee, since Israel regained Jerusalem as its capital, all happening in 2018. The church has been on the earth for 2,000 years. It's had its 2 days. Come on. I can't give you a day and a time. I wish I could. But I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus is coming soon for his church. He's coming for his body. He's coming for those who believe on him. Come on, he's coming for us. He said, the angel said, in the same way that he ascended, he's coming back for you. He's coming back for us in the clouds. Come on, we've got to believe this thing. Oh, you got to believe this thing. I mean, when he can fulfill 300 prophecies concerning his first coming. I mean, you can't even get a lottery ticket with those kind of odds. I mean, if you could get a lottery ticket with those kind of odds, I'd be putting everything I had into lottery tickets. You know, it'd be nice to retire. Maybe I want to self-identify with a 65-year-old man who's retired. I don't know. Oh, did I go there? Praise the Lord. No, let's not go there. Come on. Peter denied him 3 times, but then he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens to him? He's endued with power. He preaches a message, and he preaches under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people got saved that day and were added to the church. Come on. Listen, it's not, I don't mean to step on toes, but it's not Easter egg hunts that bring people to Jesus. Those things are good. They're fun. I personally don't do Easter eggs. They're just creepy for me. But you can ask me why some other time. Come on. But those things, they don't, cantatas are nice. Oh, and having beautiful music. But they didn't have any of that here. They got the Holy Ghost. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. And they became witnesses. Witnesses. I've talked about this before. I mean, you can be a witness in the drive-thru of any place. You just listen to God. You'll say, I want you to tell that person in that window. Tell them something. I did that one time. I told you about this, right? Yeah. Told the lady, I said, God wanted me to tell you that he loves you. She started breaking out in tears right there in the drive-thru window. Well, what is that? That's a witness. She needed to hear that. People need to hear God loves them. They don't need to hear that they're going to hell. Come on. Every person who's not saved knows they're going to hell. Most of them have themselves convinced it's going to be a party there. I know I have lots of good friends that really believe it's going to be a party. Burning and never being consumed with fire doesn't sound like a party to me, but, you know, gosh, go for it. No, we don't want that. Praise the Lord. Let's look at chapter 2, verse 40. Your mark, get set, go. Let's start in verse 39. Let's do verse 38. I'm going to just keep backing up, aren't I? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now this gift of the Holy Spirit that comes at salvation, that's the Spirit of God coming on the inside of you. Every believer, whether you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and prophesying, or you've just got the Spirit of God on the inside of you, the seal of God, sealing you for redemption. Come on, that's the gift of God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of each and every one of us. That's why don't you ever talk bad about another believer, because they've got the Spirit of God on the inside of them. You talk bad about another believer, you might as well be cursing at the Holy Ghost, because he's on the inside of them. Oh, gossip, stay away from gossip. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them. This is Peter still. Come on. I don't know Jesus. I didn't walk with Jesus. I don't know Jesus. This is Jesus now with the Holy Ghost, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Come on. Listen, I mean, you just turn on the news for 5 minutes. Right? I mean, perverse is just anything that goes against godliness. Perversion is a perversion of what God intended originally. Does that mean we don't love people? No. Jesus died for you while you were still a sinner. Come on. People have mental illnesses and depressions and all kinds of things that come on them. And they're things that take place in the soulical realm. They take place in the mind. Confusions of every kind. Is it going to keep somebody from heaven? No. Will it keep you from having a better life? Absolutely. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine of fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Come on, that's what we're part of what we're doing today. We've got spaghetti over here. We're going to have fellowship together. Come on, we come every Sunday. We get teaching. Every Thursday night, we have prayer, and we have the Holy Ghost. We have tongues and prophecy and interpretation. Come on, we're doing those things. That's what the church is called to. That's what our destiny is. Our destiny is to give, is to follow after what Jesus said, making disciples. Disciples pray. They fellowship together. They teach. That's what the church does. Come on. It's a good thing. I love the church. I love the church. Man, I came back to the Lord March 29th, 1996, and I can't count on how many fingers I've missed church. I mean, unless we had to. We just don't miss church. I love church. It's the fellowship. It's the joining together of the saints. It's where we come and we can get built up. And we can love with other people that love like we have love. The world isn't lovely. It is not lovely. It doesn't have the love and the fellowship that the church has. We have love. We have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Then fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Listen, there just seems to be something that's cohesive here. You get filled with the Spirit, you get saved, you get born again, you get the Holy Spirit, you start doing what the Lord directed to us of making disciples and fellowshipping and being baptized. I mean, just following through with what he said. There's something about that that brings signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Come on, we've had people in this church who, since we got here, have been healed, and we haven't had an event. Not one. We've had people who went home and were just seeking God and found themselves praying in tongues. Come on. Listen, nobody laid hands on them. They just believed what they were told. They went home, started seeking God, started speaking in tongues. There's at least three people that I know of in this church that happened to. Come on. The world needs a transformation from sin and death into the life and godliness of Jesus Christ. And all of this other stuff, it accompanies it. All of this other stuff, we get saved. We're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We're translated out of the world into his body. We become part of that mystery that is sent forth to minister and to reveal God to the powers and principalities in the heavenlies, to reveal God to your neighbor, to reveal God to the person in the drive-thru, to reveal God to the lady at the checkout stand at Safeway. Come on. Everybody needs it. We all need to be part of the church. Listen, I'm convinced that everybody needs a church. Every believer needs a pastor. We've been in churches where they don't have pastors. They have apostles instead. Come on, I need a pastor. I have a pastor. I can get on my phone, and I can call my pastor. I can text message my pastor. My pastor gives me advice. He helps me. If he hears something from God that he needs to reveal to me, he does that. Okay? I have a friend who's a prophet. Oh, a prophet. Well, you know, God did away with it. No. He is never doing away. Jesus said, to them who believe, well, believing for these things never ceases if you're aware of it. I have a friend who's a prophet, and she'll send me a message, or she'll contact me, and she'll say, listen, this is what the Lord is telling me. And if it bears witness, then it's a true prophetic word. And I had one of those where it bore witness with me, and I shared it on a Sunday morning. Listen, it's the church. We're the church. These things shouldn't be going, shh, don't talk about that on Sunday morning. No, this is when to talk about it. We're the church. And maybe you've never heard about some of this stuff before. You know what? Good, you're here. Let's hear about it. I mean, if this is what God had intended for the church and prophesied it hundreds and thousands of years before, and Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies concerning him in his first coming, and the Spirit of God was poured out on the day of Pentecost, I want everything God has for me. This morning I got up and I was thinking about it, and if we continue to live in the past the way we've always done things and not move into the future, we have to look ahead. I don't want to be Lot's wife. Stuck there, a pillar of salt, you know, cow lick, horse lick, you know, whatever. It's in the desert, you'd make camel lick, I don't know. We want to keep moving forward in the things that God has for us. I truly, honestly, with all my heart, I believe that Jesus is returning for his church soon. I want to be one of the five wise virgins. Don't you?
Yeah.
Not one of those five virgins who wasn't ready, who when he started to come, they couldn't get what they needed in order to go with him. I'm a wise virgin. I'm one of the wise. I keep my lamp filled with oil and my wicks trimmed. We want to be that kind of church. All right, why are we called Christians? Acts chapter 11. Well, this was part of our reading this week. Don't raise hands. We're not going to do that this week. Maybe next week. Maybe next week we'll raise hands to see who's reading. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. So they were not preaching just to the Jews anymore. Some of these guys were preaching to the Hellenists. They're preaching to non-Jewish people. Oh no. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When they had came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad, and he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when they found him, when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that he was there for a whole year. They assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Let's go back and look at it. They were called Christians because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with faith. They were teaching and making disciples. Come on. This is why, right here. They were assembled. Come on. We're supposed to assemble. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together is the habit of many. We don't want to fall in the habit of many. We're to assemble. They taught. They taught. So teaching, making disciples, people who are going to hear what Jesus said to do and do it. That's church. That's what we are. We're the church. We're called Christians because we're acting like Jesus. We're doing what Jesus said. Jesus went around. You know, it doesn't say he went around just having miracle healing services. No, it says he went around teaching. He went around teaching. And when he came to his own town, he couldn't do hardly any works because everybody just looked at him. He said, oh, this is just Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son. Familiarity. Some of us, we've been Christians most of our lives, and we're very familiar with earthly Jesus. We need to become more familiar with seated at the right hand of majesty Jesus. Come on. Because that's who we are. But he went around teaching and preaching and healing those who were afflicted of the devil. healing all kinds of sickness and disease. That's Jesus. Amen? That's us. We're called to be like him. They were called Christians because Jesus is the Messiah. In Greek, it's Christos. He was Christos. We are little Christos, little anointed ones. He was Jesus, the anointed one. We are Jesus' body, the anointed ones. We're anointed with power. Come on. If you can go from denying Jesus one week to preaching and seeing thousands saved the next week, there's something different happened to you. Amen? Come on. Being full of the Spirit, teaching, having faith, making disciples. They did what Jesus did. Mark chapter 16, we're going to close out here in just a minute. Mark chapter 16, and I like this one because this is one of those things. You know, if you can get your head around this, then you can understand anything that he said then is for you now if you believe. Mark 16. Start in verse 15. And then he, Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes, or he or she who believes and is baptized will be saved. But the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Come on, I mean, I've said this before. It's right here. This is Jesus. You're going to speak with new tongues. That doesn't mean you're going to get the Rosetta Stone and learn how to speak other languages to go into the mission field. I mean, it's good to get the Rosetta Stone. I mean, if you're going to be a missionary in a foreign country and learn how to speak that language naturally, okay? But I know people, there's a missionary in Russia who, I know this is a little off topic, but, you know, Philip was translated. And this missionary, they would just be translated everywhere they needed to go. That's a wonderful thing, right? I mean, literally, they were translated. God would translate them from one place to another by his Spirit. And then some Americans decided to put some money together and bought them a van. Do you know what? They had the van, but they never translated again. Maybe we have too much of the stuff that, you know, makes life easy, huh? They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. That we are not the first church of snake handlers, okay? We don't do that. That's like Paul on the Isle of Malta. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's just who we are. We're tongue-talking, spirit-filled, overcoming, can't be killed, laying hands on the sick, and they recover. That's who we are. But in order for us to get to that point, we have to get away from thinking naturally. See, the world is perverse. It wants us to be a certain way. It wants us to get along with them. It wants us to be like them. It wants us to talk like them. And what happens? We start becoming like them. The Assemblies of God was started out of the Azusa Street Revival and out of the outpouring that happened in Missouri. And we're the Assemblies of God. This church was founded on the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at the turn of the 19th century. That's where this church comes from. It comes out of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. It comes out of the events of people. You know, this man, I mean, his arm got caught in a turbine. He lost all of his arm from about the elbow down. He was there at Azusa Street, and they prayed for him, and they watched the bones shoot out, and tendons and vessels and muscles and skin began to grow over. This is well documented. It's easy for God. It's easy for him. The problem is us. We become more like the world than we are like him. Jesus healed the blind. He healed the lepers. Leprosy is incurable. I mean, you lose body parts. They just wither up and fall off. He raised the dead. Come on, this stuff is easy for him. We're the problem. We need to stop thinking so much like the world, which is perverse in its opposition to what God wants, and start thinking more like Jesus. Start thinking more like the I'm seated above in heavenly places together with him in Christ, far above all power and principality, might and dominion, every name that is named. We've got to start believing that when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. I mean, come on, every night. We lay hands on faith. We call her eye whole. We call it full of light. We call it full of life. We declare that she has perfect vision out of that eye. Why? Because he said, we'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do we ever stop? We don't ever stop. We don't ever stop. Hebrews 11, all these died in faith believing, not having received the promise. I will go to my grave believing for the better before I settle for, well, you just never know with God. Because right here, you can right now know with God what his plan is. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Jesus, oh, we love you, Lord. We believe you. We believe your word. We believe what you said is true. We believe that it's for us today. We apprehend and take by faith the promise that you made to us of speaking in tongues, of not being harmed by deadly things, and of laying hands on the sick and that they shall recover. We thank you that we walk in the fullness of those things. Oh, we denounce the things of this world in Jesus' name. We declare that we are the New Testament, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led, anointed church and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.